This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Base hit. That'll get another run in. On his way to third goes Henderson. And it's 3-0 Baltimore. Two-out RBI single by Eloy Jimenez. Just shot it through the right side. That is hit hard. Deep right field. And that is gone. Goodbye. Two-out, two-run homer for Gunnar Henderson. 29th homer of the year. And that's big trouble. Deep right over the head of Lane Thomas. Hits at the base of the wall. One run will score. Mountcastle stops at third. Rushman end with an RBI double. And the Orioles just keep coming.
We punched out a bunch today, but God, we had a lot of really good at-bats off a starter with outstanding stuff and really good numbers coming in. Really impressed by, got a huge fastball. I thought we just took really good at-bats against them. Up and down the order. Gunn, Eloy with some big hits. You know, Hearn with the backside double. Rutsch is starting to swing the bat like we know he can. So, good day for us offensively.
You're at the highlights courtesy of Bally Sports Great Lakes. And then Brandon Hyde after the game talking about the great at-bats up and down the lineup. Orioles win 9-5 yesterday, won 7-4 on Saturday. So they take a split in the four-game set. We're at Topgolf here in Baltimore. Come on out and see us. But, guys, things look pretty grim after Friday night to get a split. And now you're sitting 49 games left. No team in baseball has more wins than the Orioles, who have 67. The Yankees and Indians, or Guardians, both sit at 67 as well.
I mean, look, I don't think it just looked bleak Friday night. I think first time through the order against young Joey Cantillo on Saturday, I'm like, boy, oh boy, are we going to chase that changeup no matter where he throws it? And if we keep swinging at stuff at our feet, this young man's going to have a quality start. And the approach got better. They scrapped. They clawed. They fought for their at-bats. They made the best bullpen in baseball work its backside off over consecutive days. This wasn't home run or bust. This wasn't one big inning, and then everybody kind of sits back a little bit and rides it out. This was continuing to press. This was continuing to fight. You heard Hyder talk about it there. Like, this felt like a shedding of some skin for me. And for me, like, what they did against Toronto, you know, was, like, nice and, you know, like, but this is going against a really good pitching staff. And when you do get young starters like Cantillo and Gavin Williams, yeah, you need to get them out of there early. And you need to get into the underbelly of that bullpen before they can go straight to their A team. And I just, my hat's off to them for putting in the work and not feeling sorry for themselves and not defaulting on bad habits, because they won that series because of their bats. Let's be real.
I mean,
won the final two games and tied the series.
Yeah, I mean, you go to Saturday. It's one of 162, but that was a massive, massive, massive game,
yes,
for the Orioles. And for them to come out and, I mean, heck, that one play that sticks out to me, that Gunner stretching what should have been a single into a double, gets up, he's all fired up, he's all into it, and just so many professional at-bats. But, guys, I mean, that Saturday alone, they had 20 opportunities with runners in scoring position. 20!
Yeah.
And they were 8 for 20 in that. And then the last two games, 12 for 31 runners in scoring position. You know, by far and away, Cleveland has the best bullpen in baseball. He got 7 runs off them in both those games combined. I mean, the offense was very, very impressive.
Go back to Saturday, and and I'm putting it in quotes, the triple from Adley Rutschman. Mm-hmm. Big Christmas took, like, he got tripped over his own feet. But
looks like Verdugo.
Verdugo in left and this guy in right.
Yeah. But it seemed to have unlocked Adley because a guy who's been struggling for a month looked like a different dude yesterday, swinging the bat, hitting the ball hard. Also, Jackson Holliday looks like a different dude, continues to swing a good bat. I don't know who this Eloy Jimenez is that is hitting and just going with the pitch and punching balls out into the opposite field base hits, opposite field doubles. And Ryan Horn, if not for an atrocious umpire yesterday, the Orioles scored 9 yesterday, but they got punched out on balls that were a foot outside multiple times.
And that would have been a bases loaded ball.
Yes.
I mean, that was an extra run there. And Kent. Colton Cowser. I mean,
17-game hitting streak.
I mean,
Jason, you motivated him.
I don't know about that.
You motivated him.
I'm just glad to see it. Look, and again, it's hard hit ground balls to the opposite way when you need to move people over. It's using the backside in general, and it's line drives Uberalis. This is return to being a line drive offense after long stretches where it's been a pop up fly ball, occasional home run offense, and that. We talked about it with Cedric Mullins last week. That gap-to-gap approach, line drive, hard-hit balls is going to serve you well. It's not about launch angle these days. It's about barreling things up and staying on top of it and going the opposite way.
What's crazy is we've seen so many times, and we've talked about so many times, where Corbin Burns gets no run support. And he's out there. He's got to keep the game close. Well, yesterday, he got a ton of run support and had his worst outing of the year, yet he still gets the win.
And that just tells you where this offense is. And quite frankly, guys, for the better part of a month, that Josh Naylor 3-run homer to bring him within 1 run, that would have really got them, taken back there. But they were able to answer
fought
right back, and then get 2 runs in the 6th inning. So that was another part where this offense is clicking at this point, where there were so many guys that, we're in prolonged slump, where now you're starting to see all those guys really get after.
Any concern at all, and I don't, but I'm going to ask, Coby Mayo. He's 0 for 9 so far.
No, this is you're going to have to live with some of this. This is kind of why we were begging for him in May, when it's not every at-bat feels like the weight of the world because you're battling for playoff position. Now, you're always battling for playoff position, but, there will be times when he tries to do too much. But by and large, he is trying to work counts. He's seeing a fair number of pitches. And look, Ramon, you're still going to see a fair amount of Ramon.
Yeah, Bone and he's always going to be a defensive replacement.
Yes. You're going to see that late inning, and if the approach does wane a little bit, we know that they won't be reticent at all about getting Ramon in these games, even in the 4th or 5th inning if need be.
Question for you guys, and I mean, this is something probably we'll get into as it gets closer, but let's assume I read Rock Cabaco's piece of Masson Sports this morning. Said they're hoping to have Westbrook back mid to late September. What does this look like if he, who's the guy who sits when Westbrook comes back? Because Westbrook's playing every day.
Well, these things have a way of taking care of themselves, as we've heard before.
Yeah.
But look, the idea, the whole they've got to play every day and, oh, if they're not going to see enough at-bats up here, we send them down. If Coby Mayo this year is what Heston Kerstad was supposed to be last year in late September, right, which is pop off the bench in the right scenario, we flip them around and we get them to go to a lefty, and then here comes Coby Mayo trying to run into something, so be it. I don't care how many reps he gets at third base this year. That's another question for spring training next year, right? And we work it out in the A games and the B games on the backfield. Right now, every scenario, who gives us the best chance to impact this game? And having that bat off the bench, hey, you do what you got to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hell of a problem to have.
Yes, exactly.
If it gets to that point. But like Jason said, I mean, who knows where this team is health-wise, when/if Jordan Westbrook comes back. But, I mean, he's their most consistent player, their most clutch player. So obviously you're going to want him come October baseball.
We have a huge Monday show. Once again, we're at Topgolf here in Baltimore. Come on down and see us. You can try to outdrive our PD Chuck Bucks, who's here.
Where did he go?
Yeah, he's behind
he's right
you.
Behind. I had his clubs next to me. I felt like a million bucks.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
I got Chuck Bucks driver rubbing off on me here. I'm golden.
He's not using the peasants' clubs here.
I need to go make like 6 or 8 bets because I got Chuck Bucks winning power. But then he moved his clubs. He took them away from me.
And he's trying to teach me how to hit a golf ball.
Did you get any better?
I felt like I got a little bit better. I was at least hitting it straighter, but there's still work to be done.
We have a huge show. 3 o'clock, Buck Showalter, former O's manager, now with MLB Network. We'll obviously talk baseball with him. 4 o'clock, Ravens training camp continues. Their first preseason game is Friday. We'll check in with Jonah Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner, Mark Feinstein from MLB.com and MLB Network. Get his thoughts on how the trade deadline went and where he stacks these teams in the American League. He joins us at 4:30, and our own Cordell Woodland talking Orioles and Ravens at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll get an update from Cordell on what he's seen and heard this weekend. Obviously, this is a different week for the Ravens, right? It's not a normal practice week, training camp week, because they are easing into regular season mode, as crazy as that sounds, with a game on Friday. So, plenty to get to today as the Orioles get a much-needed day off, but it's full throttle for us here at Topgolf.
Orioles start a series in Toronto.
We got Chuck Bucks, pal.
Yes, we do.
Towered by Chuck Bucks. Yes.
Orioles start a 3-game set in Toronto tomorrow. But coming up next, Jackson F. Holliday. He looks like a whole new guy since he's been recalled from Norfolk. It's all the young dudes, one dude in particular, next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
He said, really have to learn how to pitch when I was younger.
Holliday deep to left. That's going to go off the wall. Schneeman plays it quickly, and Holliday with an extra base hit. He's in a scoring position with a leadoff double in the fifth for Baltimore.
Jackson Holliday pulled the hands in and yanks the curveball to deep right field, and it's gone. Well, Baltimore comes right back and answers. And now they lead 4-2.
Besides that first at bat where he was late to the heater, the guy he took some really good swings the rest of the day. So, he's got a ton of ability. He's going to have some ups and downs. He's a really, really young player. But it's great to see him swing the bat this way. He did this series.
You heard the highlights courtesy of Fox and Bally Sports, Great Lakes. And then you heard Brandon High talking about Jackson Holliday. And Jackson Holliday, man, since the call-up, had the grand slam in the game in Baltimore and then multi-hit games in Cleveland helping the Orioles win these last two. We had the base hit off of Class A in the loss on Friday night. He looks like a completely different guy than the guy who frankly looked overmatched when he was here the first time.
No, this is night and day. This is the type of approach and impact that you saw from Jackson Holliday throughout his brief minor league career manifesting itself to the major league level. And there's a number of things that have caught my attention. It looked like the sort of elongated toe tap was really affecting his ability to get the things up in the zone and just to get to velocity on time, period, during that first 10-game sample size. And the more I think back on it, and Mike Elias, I believe, is going to join us on Wednesday. It's something maybe we'll ask him about. I wonder if that sample size was so small that it was all, maybe them saying, hey, we're going to try it your way, you know what I mean, and we're going to see what that looks like up here. And then they wanted to nip it in the bud and let's go back to Norfolk and refine some things, right? Because now you for yourself have seen the difference between dominating AAA and looking, frankly, overwhelmed at the major league level. So he's on time now. He's backsiding the hell out of the ball, and he's hitting the ball for power the opposite way, which we didn't even see poolside power the first time up, right? It was strikeouts and rollovers. So we've now seen him tap into that. We've seen him drive balls despite having a two-strike count against him, which is huge. The confidence has to be sky high, and I still think the last piece of this is them unlocking him on the base paths in a way that we haven't seen to this level yet, but certainly we know he has speed and instincts to affect games on base.
I just go back to the Grand Slam and where that, it just had to feel like the weight of the world off his shoulders at that point. Where, he is so dialed in right now, guys. 11 of Jackson Holliday's last 13 balls in play have been hard hit balls. Mm-hmm. And a huge thing in the first stint compared to this stint, the whiff percentage is down 20%. The hard hit percentage is up tremendously. I mean, right now, the last five games, again, that's 84.6%. Hard hit.
And that's despite him still being screwed by umpires.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, called strikes that aren't even close.
No, it's a joke. By the way, what impressed me, I think it was Saturday's game, where he came up with a runner in scoring position, just punched a base hit to center field. Like, that's a kid. He's not trying to do too much.
Nope.
He knows what the team needs and just punches a base hit right out to center field for the RBI. I've been so impressed. I will say this, and I'm nitpicking here, but I'd like to see him catch the ball with two hands. Like, this thing he's doing, and he dropped one yesterday, but they're fortunate to get the guy at second base. But this often,
He's not comfortable at second base. Like, he just hasn't played there enough to be comfortable.
But I hear you. But, like, at shortstop, I wouldn't like him catching the ball like that either. There's something about the way he does that maybe it's just me. I don't like the way he catches the ball, and I'd like to see him use two hands. But then again, I'm not a thousandth of the player that he is.
Yeah, look, I think we're going to see especially a faster guy at the plate.
Yeah.
Like, his timing, his all of sort of the things that will eventually become completely instinctual at second base, it's just not there yet. I mean, we're talking about like a 50-game sample size in the minors at second base. That is minuscule, and just it's just not the same speed and not the same impact as what you feel like in the major leagues every time a ball comes your way. It's just different.
It's something that, quite frankly, we're just going to have to live with for the rest of the season.
But I like him better on ground balls the second time up than they did the first time.
But the big thing is, and we talked about this last week, Jason, they were getting no production out of their second baseman on the year. Prior to Jackson getting called up, they were 29th in the majors in on-base percentage.
Like 29th. 255, 25%.
So let's ask this question. How long is he in the nine hole?
Oh, well, look. I don't think they're going to mess with that because right now, if you've got him doing this at nine and Cal's are doing this at one, like, I don't think they're touching that. You know, to get him, you know, what, maybe one to two extra plate appearances a week if you moved him to seven? I don't think you're moving him higher than that.
Yeah. And he's not going to the one hole because Cal's
And they might eventually put Gunner back there. No, I think if this ain't broke, you don't fix it. What I am interested to see, though, is on the defensive side of things, now they're going to a carpet. Right now they're going to Toronto. They're going to a fast track.
Yeah.
Right. We saw him get to a ball in this series and not be able to corral it and make the play. Like, this is like, don't be shocked if a ball or two gets past him that a year from now wouldn't, because this is it's still very, it's at a nascent stage here when we're talking about how much second base he's played.
He's a 20-year-old kid who doesn't have the experience that you would want at second base. It's going to be an adjustment curve.
I am curious, just as this goes, and he seems more and more comfortable. And maybe Maybe they need to put a golden tee in the Orioles clubhouse because he was playing that golden tee in Cleveland, and it didn't affect his at-bats at all. It seemed like they got better. So maybe the powers that be put a golden tee machine in the Orioles clubhouse.
Well, and in the, like, totally unfazed categories we talked about before, like, so the Guardians are honoring, you know, their Hall of Famers, their team Hall of Famers. And so C.C. Sabathia is in there yucking it up with him before the game, right? And he goes back with him, and he played with one of C.C.'s kids at one point in time with him or against him. And then Tomei's coming in, and his dad played with Tomei, and he used to run around with Tomei. It's just the ability to just have those conversations with those guys and pick their brains, and they saw your at-bat last night, and they're conveying information. Like, he's a little sponge, and there's a lot of people who gravitate to him, and I just think that will continue to serve him really well as he adjusts to everything at the major league level.
Yeah, I mean, the moment, his first spring training, how old was he? 18, 19? And we were kept wondering, we're like, wow, he's still staying with the big league club. He's still staying. Like, growing up in that environment is doing him wonders now.
Orioles tied for first place with the Yankees. They're off today. Start a three-game series in Toronto tomorrow. But coming up next, we'll switch to Ravens. And they have their first preseason game on Friday. So a perfect time for a six-pack. The six most important Ravens position battles that are waging right now at one winning drive. We'll give you our list next here on The Fan. The Ravens have their first preseason game this Friday. Makes it a perfect time for a six-pack. Our six most important position battles that are occurring right now. And, Ben, let's get started. This was tough to figure out. My order was tough, too. But at six, I put the last corner. And is it going to be Jalen Armour Davis? Is it going to be Pepe Williams? Is it going to be Trayvon Mullen? He is Lamar's cousin. Maybe TJ Tampa. But who's going to be the last corner in a deep field?
Disclosure, one that I wish was on here, but I can't put it on here because it isn't a competition, but it should be, is backup quarterback.
Oh, I got
and,
it.
And we might get to it. A point where they do something that makes that one. I just don't think it is as bad as Josh Johnson might look. I'm not right now. It's not a competition. You know what I think of guards. This is my six, and it's a two for one. Left guard, right guard. You can find guys who can play guard.
You're already not a six pack.
They found guys all over the place who can play guard.
Ben said we're done.
You're five.
Yeah, five for me is, and maybe this is fudging it a little bit. Five for me is blocking tight end, and I mean, does Kolar show enough that he now pushes sort of the fullback back to being a fullback and H-back, but not, you know, their preferred guy in a lot of three tight end sets, particularly when they're running? So it is more about the development and evolution of Charlie Kolar, but I think the fullback's reaching a stage where less is probably more, and streamlining him can help this entire offense. So does a blocking tight end emerge this? I'll call it a competition for playing time between Ricard and Kolar.
My five is, and we know Keaton Mitchell ain't going to be there at the start of the year, so who is the third running back? Is it the draft pick, Rasheen Ali, or Owen Wright, who, from all accounts that I'm reading, is having a very good camp? Who's going to get that third running back job? So this one was, I stuck with this at four, but it's one of these. Two of mine are to be determined, but it's an edge, and it's Adisa Isaac, who's not even healthy yet, and David Ajabo. Like, when Isaac comes back, who's going to get, like, we've seen nothing from Ajabo, even when he's healthy, to tell me he's guaranteed a thing.
I got that much higher.
Does Isaac steal reps from him when he's back?
My four is D-tackle, and again, what I'm looking at here is not so much the battle to see, like, which developmental guy makes the team, but is Travis Jones cutting even more into Broderick Washington's workload? Is he further marginalizing Broderick Washington? Is he further keeping Michael Pierce in a really sort of defined first down run plugger type role? I think he has a chance to alter the way that they have deployed their defensive tackles for several years now, and I think he has a chance to be somebody who we start to see with much greater regularity. So whatever you want to call starting next to Matabike, and it doesn't necessarily have to be as a three or as a five. We know how versatile Matabike is. That opens the door for this youngster to, I think, kick through it.
You guys have very different lists, all three different. I'm going with Ken just based on what I know. I mean, Edge being on there. I think the third running back is a very interesting situation. And, I mean, gosh, that's all we're hearing out of Ravens training camp, how deep this secondary is, and they're going to end up having to cut a guy that they otherwise wouldn't want to.
Six biggest or most important position battles going on at Ravens camp. And, Ben, let's continue.
Again, I'm focused more on the top end of this roster and not, you know, who's player number 75 or, you know, 55 or whatever.
105.
Yeah, which they've got about 105 right now. And I'm not sure how much of a position this battle is, but I do know that if Rosengarten doesn't look like he's up for it, it becomes a position battle. And I can't just completely hand it to him. And they have Patrick McCary, who's the backup everywhere. They have Fa Lele, who I would assume will take some reps there as well. For me, the three is, who's the starting right tackle on this team?
My three is something that you mentioned, Jason, but you decided not to put on your list, and that is to be determined versus Josh Johnson. Like, nobody has seen anything they liked from Josh Johnson. At some point, they're going to have to bring in another, because it's not the Leary kid. Leary kid's not winning this job. He's a practice squad candidate. But is Josh Johnson really going to go into the season as the backup quarterback? There seem to be other available options, whether it be Tannehill still on the street or maybe a Taylor Heinicke, who is the third-string guy in Atlanta. Who are the Ravens going to bring in? Do they really, even though they're telling us they do they really trust Josh Johnson? Number two is Jason Six. They're both guards. Who's starting at guard? Is it Voorhees? Is it I can't even read my own writing. Is it Big A?
Big A.
Is it
Big
Ben
A.
Cleveland? Like, they've got two guards. Is it Falele, who they're running reps with at guard? They have all these options, which I guess they say they like, but I don't know who's playing. I think Voorhees has one of these spots, but who's going to win these jobs?
My two is, like, anybody on the edge slash outside linebacker depth chart not named Adafe Owe. Like, I don't know what's there. I don't know that they know what's there. And I think this is a position group that we're going to be spending a lot of time, frankly, dissecting fake football games. Who shows what in these exhibition games? Can Ajabo play early downs at all against the run, or is that still abject failure? Like, do they need to run out and sign somebody ASAP? There's just not a lot of there. This has been my fetish for a long time. Who's behind Ronnie Stanley? Who is the second best option at left tackle? And is it somebody who you could afford to keep there in reserve almost exclusively? Or does it turn out to be Patrick McCary, who, guess what, is the number two everywhere? So it stands to reason by the time you want to or need to make a change at left tackle, he's already holding it down somewhere else.
It's funny. Our lists are so different, but our ones are simpatico. Yeah, who is the backup left tackle? Because they're not going to rotate left tackles again this year. I don't know that they're going to be as patient with Ronnie Stanley if he breaks down. So if that's the case, who is the backup left tackle?
Yeah, I got Ken.
That's a big W for the ginger gorilla.
Like Sharp.
No one's here right now, but I am not convinced that they aren't bringing in someone else. And I think Heinicke's a big one, where you would think the Falcons are going to look to unload him prior to roster cutdown. He's not making any money. We know that the Ravens don't pay backup quarterbacks. And I would have Edge higher than you did, Ken. But guard, I think, if it's one guard, I would say yeah. But you got both open positions.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
They can find guards, man.
Dude, they can
find guards.
They found John Simpson a year ago.
They got an all-world center.
They
can find guards.
All right.
Hey, coming up next, Ravens training camp. They're on the field right now. When we come back, we're going to hear some Ravens sound from the weekend. We'll hear from Brent Urban. We'll hear from Travis Jones next here on The Fan.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, just being in the league is a privilege, man. Like, every single day you just got to relish it, because, you know, you see so many guys in and out. And just even looking at my class now, it's, you know, nobody's still around. So just finding your own role, just appreciating it. Like, as I get older, I've started to be able to take it like a seat back and really just appreciate like how thankful I am to be here. You know, when you're young, you're like nose is on the grindstone, you're just like hustling every day, you're stressed out, all this stuff. And now I feel like I can kind of be at a luxury to sit back and just really appreciate things each and every day.
Brent Urban, veteran defensive lineman for the Baltimore Ravens, and he's on his second tour with the Ravens, but talking about his career path and I guess also talking to maybe some of the young players and just like lessons that they can learn from him, because he's made an NFL career and he's a guy that, you know, wasn't a highly drafted guy, but he's been a valuable reserve for the Ravens.
Yeah, he understands his strengths. They understand how to pace him, and there will be a couple matchups every year where all of a sudden you see more Brent Urban than maybe you're used to, and tends to be run-heavy game scripts, and he tends to deliver.
Also knock down a pass or block a kick.
Yeah, like, I mean, it is – I think we gloss over it too much. I mean, to have a true NFL career, to stick in this league for 8 years, 10 years, and to do it in the trenches is no small task whatsoever. And let's face it, an organization like this and most organizations that are good at what they do want to try to build from the inside out, so they're always trying to replace you. They're always drafting some defensive linemen and offensive linemen in the mid rounds and the late rounds looking for value. So, you know, hats off.
They were able to run back the exact group that they had last year in terms of interior defensive linemen, and Brent Urban played a solid role for them last year. I mean, he had a couple spots. He had three sacks last year, and he's more of that run stuffer. He's more of that guy that can knock down a pass as well, in that veteran presence. And him, along with Michael Pierce, who we did not envision him being able to provide that type of impact and availability.
We're going to hear from Travis Jones in a minute, but before that, here's Brent Urban talking about Jones's potential.
I think he's doing it, man. Like, you know, he's a guy like Justin to look at, you know, Broderick Washington, who works so, so hard. Like, he's up with them early in the morning working out. You know, he kind of sees the model of what to do, and I think you guys can see it, like, out on the field. You know, his like, pass rushing ability has gotten so, so much better. The way he moves, his quickness, his size, speed, just the way he thinks about the game now. You know, it's at a more mature level where, you know, I think he's going to take off this year. You know, I think he's done a great job and looked at those guys, how they've done it. And, yeah, the sky's the limit for him. I think he's going to take a huge step this year.
It's interesting. Every training camp, there's a guy that has a lot of buzz, and sometimes Adafe Owe, it doesn't translate into regular season games. But Travis Jones, there's a lot of buzz around him right now at camp.
Yeah. Again, I a position group I had on my losing six pack somehow.
He would win every week.
I'm really intrigued to see. I just think let's not throw the Matabike comp out there. Like, he's not going to make that sort of leap. That sort of leap doesn't happen in this league. Not for any particular team. League-wide, you don't see D tackles make that kind of leap, but maybe once in a decade. So, you know, Chris Jones kind of did it early in his career. Aaron Donald kind of came into the league doing
it. First-round pick, yeah.
But it's nothing close to normal. But I think they are creating scenarios now where if he shows he has the stamina, he has the ability, the wherewithal to be more of a focal point of their base looks week to week, regardless of the opponent. Like, I think that door is open for him. And how much do they play him in the preseason? I don't know. I don't know. He might already be too important to do a whole lot. That week of practice in Green Bay, I'm sure, you know, nobody be able to talk about it or report on it, but I'm sure it'll be telling. But, yes, I think he has the ability to break through. Again, not in the way Matabike did, first-team All-Pro, but as one of the most impactful young players on this roster,
With Travis Jones, for me, his next step in his career is his ability to push the pocket, his ability to get sacks, to get pressures.
And
you heard Brent Urban there say, like, that's kind of where he's seen him take a leap, you know, in this third training camp for him. We're always looking for the guys who can pick up the pieces from some of the sacks that have left you know, departed during the offseason, and Travis Jones, is this someone that could get you 4 sacks, 5 sacks? Can he get there?
So let's hear from Travis Jones. In the last segment, someone who sounds a lot like Jason Lockenfor referred to Tyler Linderbaum as an all-world center.
He did.
So let's hear Travis Jones talking about going against Linderbaum in practice.
Yeah, going against Linderbaum, you know, he went to the Pro Bowl last year, so he one of the best centers in the league. And going against him every day going to get me better. Voorhees, strong. He's strong, real strong, aggressive. So, and we're just going to keep working every day and make each other better.
I think, and I don't pay a lot of attention to this stuff, but, you know, Madden has their ratings, and it's a big deal right now. I think Madden said Voorhees is the strongest Raven.
I think it was. I think he's the second strongest in football, which is a leap of faith to take.
It's
for
really,
someone who has never played a snap in the NFL.
Quite a reputation.
I think he had a 97 for strength.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, do we think that's a glitch? Like,
I mean,
I know he did, but he benched really
well. After he blew out his knee, even though he's doing
it with one leg. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. And will it immediately translate to game strength? Good for him.
Let's hear one more before we step out, because we got Buck Showalter at the top of the hour. Ben, cut 33. Since we were talking about Matabike, Travis Jones talking about wanting to model Justin Matabike's career path.
Yeah, since I got here, Matabike been a big, big role model for me. I've been looking up to him for the past 2 years, and seeing what he did last year just gave me motivation. So I want to follow his footsteps.
If he can be a reasonable facsimile, that would be great. But as you said, it's tough to have two guys have the leaps that they did.
And here's the reality: with what Matabike's done and their ability to extend him long term, you don't even need that. Like, just can he be what Calais Campbell was 3 years ago playing next, but Matabike now in the role of Calais Campbell and this guy in the role of that Matabike, you know? Like, that 2 years ago, I should say. Like, can he make it really difficult for them to take him off the football field? And again, they're going to, because you're always going to rotate D-tackles, and they've got a lot of depth there, at least as it stands now. That can change quickly. But, like, is he someone who goes from being where does he fit in to how do we get him out? Because we got to get him out. Like, when do we get him out? How do we get him out? Who replaces him versus him giving a breather to other people?
Orioles get a 4-game split with the Guardians. They're off today. Head in Toronto tomorrow. Orioles and Yankees in a tie for first place with 49 games to go. Coming up next, we'll talk to former Orioles skipper, now with MLB Network, Buck Showalter, joins us next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.